All right. On my podcast today is Andre the Farmer. Peace, brother. How you doing?
Good man, how are you?
Man, I'm blessed, man. Blessed and highly favored. I appreciate you taking the time out to do this interview with me. I know you're a busy guy, but I do appreciate it very, very much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. So tell me, where are you from?
I grew up in Canada. I grew up in Toronto. My parents are from the Caribbean, but I grew up in Toronto. I moved to the States to go to dental school at Howard University in 1995.
Okay.
And I've basically been here since about 95.
So did you finish dental school? Okay. So you got your education at dental school from, what'd you say again?
Howard University.
Howard University. All right. So how was life at Howard? Because I've always heard good things.
It was good, but I went there as an adult. I was 25. I was
Okay.
going to professional school. So it wasn't like I was there for undergrad and a lot of the crazy partying and all that stuff. So
Okay.
it was a little bit different vibe when you're going to dental school there.
Okay. All right. So you graduated from Howard. Where do we enter the point where you get into farming?
Well, that is when I moved into the house that I'm currently in right now here in Orlando, Florida area. That was about 8 years ago. And basically, I planted a mango tree. I didn't know what I was doing, just wanted to have a mango tree. And that just sort of ballooned into, now I've got over 20 mango trees, I've got over 100 fruit trees, and I've just gotten deep into it.
So that for the majority of that time, you were working on your own dentistry.
I still am. I still am. None of that's changed. None, no part of that's changed. I added just one more thing to my life. I've always had a lot of hobbies. I do a lot of fishing. I
I
bow
love
hunt.
fishing. Fishing's
Really? Yeah.
good.
I do a lot of fishing. Bow hunt, basketball, golf, whatever. I'm always trying to have activities to do, and gardening just became one that's sort of taken the forefront of a lot of the others.
So I heard the saying, what they say, a jack of all trades, master at none, but oftentimes better than a master
Than
of
a
none.
master of one.
And I like that saying because it fits me, because I can be doing a podcast, or I could be doing mental work, or I could be fishing, I could be exercising or working out or something like that. So, it's just about what you're capable of doing in the time and space that you have. So I think that's pretty cool of you to be able to have a dentistry firm or office, and then go off and say, "Hey, you know what? I'll go bow hunting tomorrow or later on this afternoon or something like that." I think that's always pretty cool. One of the things I enjoy is knowing that people are able to use their abilities in many different ways, and they're staying active.
I'm a big believer that, you have to have things in life that you look forward to, things that are just for you and are enjoyable to you. And I meet so many adults who they basically go to work, they come home and they go back to work and they have nothing that they enjoy doing. And I'm like, why are you even living? Like, what are you doing?
And I'm so glad you said that, Andre, because when I'm at work, I know that I'm so different from everybody. I work in finance, right? So I know that I'm different from everybody, because they say, "Oh, so what did you do today?" And I would say, "I did this, I did this, and I did that. I went to the gym and I boxed." So, "You went to the gym and boxed?" I'm like, "Yeah. I thought you were working on a podcast." Some days. Some days I sit down and I actually cut up clips and I do that too. "Well, what don't you do?" I was like, "Well, what do you do when you go home?" "Well, I go home
Exactly.
and I eat and I watch TV." I was like, "Well, I don't actively watch TV that often. I like to keep my brain active because they say that it's good for the brain, right? So either I'm reading or I'm doing something else of with a physical activity, or I'm doing my podcast." And I personally believe that's what you should be doing, but that's not everybody. That's just the way that I see things. Or I could be working on music with my buddies that do producing. So it's to me, it's important to do something active, and that's just how I like to keep it. But it's always good to hear that other people are doing it, because it lets me know I'm not alone.
You're not alone. You're not
Being
alone.
active is a good thing. So yeah, awesome. So in the dentistry world, I don't hear about a lot of black people. Are there more black people than I know about?
Probably, yes. Because Howard University is putting out 60, 70 black dentists a year. So, definitely not the majority in this space, but there's more than you think. There's more than you think. Like, I thought when I came to Orlando, I was like pretty much like a unicorn. Like, I thought I was the only black orthodontist in Orlando. There's
Okay.
like five or six black orthodontists just in Orlando.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
And that's a specialty. So, there's probably about 30 dentists, black dentists in Orlando.
Awesome. Awesome. Good to hear. Good to hear. Because I like to hear about more of us occupying spaces that they say where you're not capable of doing that. And actually, we are. You're just not giving us the opportunity, or we just haven't figured it out yet. And when we figure it out, we will.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh yeah, all the time, all the time. I tell people it's not that we can't do it; it's just that we haven't tried and we haven't succeeded at it. And, from hockey to
And then
anything.
also we haven't had the opportunities. The opportunities aren't there for everybody,
Absolutely,
I was
absolutely.
fortunate I had the opportunity, so
What made you choose dentistry? What was it?
I had some family members that were in DC that had graduated from Howard Dental School. My father's uncle and his daughter had graduated from dental school at Howard. So it was just sort of an opportunity that just kind of came to me. Without that or without their influence and their sway getting me into dental school, I probably never would have gone to dental school. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a biology teacher.
Okay.
Yeah, at the time, Teachers College was really hard to get into in Canada.
Okay.
So I ended up being a dentist.
Wow. Wow. You wanted to teach biology. I remember my sophomore year, I think it was that biology in high school we had, where I was dissecting frogs and stuff like that?
Probably biology,
Yeah. I have fun doing that class, man. Frogs,
yeah.
the gonads and all that, man. Oh man, you just brought back a crazy memory, man. I love that. Shout out to Miss Taylor. I don't know if she's still alive, man, but she was awesome. She had me really curious about that stuff, man.
And I love science. I love biology. I'm a big fan.
Question about that, because growing up, they always tease people that get into science, and I think it's any community. I think it's a worldwide thing. But science is so awesome, and the math part of it's like the basis of life, right? So why do people make it seem like it's something that's so wrong? Is it just because they have an inability to learn it? Do you think that's what it is?
Like what, why they make it like it's something that's so wrong or something so hard?
Like being smart and learning about science and math is wrong, or they make the
Oh.
is it just because the fear of them not being able to do it? What do you think that is?
I think so. I think there's a lot of fear. There's fear of the unknown. And sometimes big ideas can be scary. And in science, there's a lot of big ideas. And sometimes if you can't really grasp all of it, you just kind of want to throw all of it away.
Yeah,
So,
because I enjoyed it as a young kid. I really wanted to be more about science, but it was the English and the history that was more of my thing at the time. That was the things that I really, really enjoy. And I was a big history buff for years. Still am. Still like to look up books and go through things of history, especially things that have to do with our history, because there's so much that's been denied to us. But ma math and science, man, that's life. It's in your DNA code.
It is. Everything is science explains how the natural world works. So everything in the natural world has a scientific explanation. We may not know it or have it yet, but that ex explanation exists.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So you get into the dentistry realm, right? And you move to Florida. Did you open up your firm there to start with, or did you become a part of someone else's
Well, I
firm?
had to become a part of a group because I
Okay.
didn't have a green card. I was a Canadian citizen.
Oh, that's right. You're still moving around. Okay.
So I was on an H-1B visa, and it took about 6 years to get a green card
Wow.
as a dentist from Canada. So, when I hear people talk about how these people south of the border need to come here legally, other than asylum, there's no legal pathway for these people. We don't have a legal pathway for them, and that's part of the problem. Me with a degree, a doctorate, paying a lawyer thousands of dollars every year, took 6 years, to get a green card. But once I got the green card, I bought one of the offices I was in, And then about 2 years later, I opened up my second office. And maybe like 6 or 7 years ago, I opened up my third office.
Sounds like you were busy.
Yeah, never really that busy. One thing that I really believe in is work-life balance. So even at my busiest, I was working 4 days a week.
Okay.
Now I'm down to 3 days a week. Looking to maybe in the next 5 years or so retire and be out of this game.
Talk about that work-life balance, because it takes a work-life balance to make sure that you can balance being a man, a dentist, a father, a husband, right? What's the discipline? Because you have to regulate that.
You know what? I am not a big planner or a big structure guy or whatever. I kind of
What?
just, no, I'm not. I'm not,
Okay.
I'm, I don't plan. I don't forecast. I don't have a vision board or anything like that. I just kind of just do stuff when I want to
That is not the
do
answer I thought I was going to hear. Okay. Talk to me about this. I'm listening.
it.
I'm intently listening, man.
That's it. And that's why, even things like this podcast, I saw the email and I was like, oh, that's tonight. Like I don't have it in my calendar or anything like that. I just
Okay.
kind of just, like when I opened my first, when I bought the first office, an opportunity popped up. The second office, there was an orthodontist that was literally right by my house who had like the best location because he was in the same basically a parking lot as a high school and across the street from a middle school. He moved out of that space. So I took the space. I didn't really
Okay.
have a plan for it, but I took the space and opened an office there. The third office, I was just trying to buy a building for an investment property. And actually after I bought it, I was like, we could probably make this an office, maybe make it an office, we could do something with it. And we made it an office. So yeah, I don't have any long-term sort of master plans. I just try to make the best decisions at the time,
Okay. And raising two kids in the midst of that, right? Or how
Yeah,
many?
yeah. I have two
Two
sons.
sons. And raising two sons in the midst of that.
Right.
Awesome work. I'm sure you're an awesome father by doing in the process of doing that. How are you able to balance that? Because I'm sure they want to get involved in activities and be involved in school.
Right. Yeah. No. They have a lot of activity. I feel like there's a lot of hours in a day, and I feel like sometimes people make it out like there's no time in a day, but I feel like there's a lot. Like, listen, I go in my garden every day. Most days I go to the gym in the morning before I even start my day. I go do my work. My kids, they ran track, they played sports, they did whatever they had to do. Now they're in college. And that also frees up a lot of time when your kids get out of the house. You have a lot more time than you did before. But I've never felt crunched for time. I also have a show called Fire Talk TV
Okay.
that I'm a
Plug it,
host
talk
for,
about it,
one of the
plug it, talk about it.
producers. Yeah, so Fire Talk TV is a show that we developed because I used to have a book club. And I used to have a bunch of brothers come over. We used to discuss books, like a book. We'd pick a book each month, whatever, read a book and discuss it. And one of my buddies was like, man, this would be a good show. We need to be filming this, right? So 10 years goes by. We didn't film it. And then eventually we decided we'd go down to my fire pit. We'd film it. So we filmed like five episodes and they were fun and interesting. But then we were like, we need to step this up. So now we've got like a real like production crew that comes
Okay.
in and we've released four episodes of Fire Talk so far that are like the well-produced episodes. You can see it on Fire Talk TV One on YouTube. Episode one was on mental health. Episode two was on raising kids. Episode three was on the role of a man. And for June, it was Men's M Health Month. So June was on men's health. And we just released that one last weekend.
Awesome, awesome. And around it also being Men's Health Month, they put so many other things, but it also always seems like they just neglect the men, or is it just me? Is it just
Well,
me?
no, it's true. Listen, and we talk a lot about that in the show. Men are somewhat of a commodity. We are there for a purpose, and we serve our purpose and we
Important
shouldn't
when we're
complain
needed.
about it. Was that
Important when we're needed.
important when we're needed? But you know, we have our role. We have our role, and you know, I don't know. I'm a big fan of sort of not really conforming to necessarily a role, and be just being the best person you can be.
I hear that. I hear that. On a mental health side, from time to time, when I do work with the youth, I talk to them about, I try to get them to open up to me, or I allow them the space to be comfortable, make it safe for them to talk. Because oftentimes, when you're dealing with younger men, people are always trying to tell them what to do and how they should do things. And there aren't people who are always listening to them. So I always leave the opportunity open to listen to them. And oftentimes you find out that some of these young men are, these young men, these young boys are angry and upset because no one is actually listening. You know, so when you're talking, when you speak on a mental health, when you're doing those type of episodes and you guys are gathering in a group and you're having dialogue, what are you guys discussing as far as the mental health?
Well, we did it more from like, you know, the average age in our group for the mental health debate was probably, say, 50 or something like that, 40 something, 50. So it was more like from an adult standpoint. But we talk about like, you know, not making it so taboo for someone to talk to someone, right? And how men, you know, never have these deeper conversations where they express their emotions. And, you know, and I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. You know, I grew up in an era where we didn't talk about that stuff, you know? And it's hard for me to open up and talk to another guy about stuff like that. So I don't do it, but I should do it. You know, we talked about even like going to talk to a therapist, you know, and you know, at the beginning of the discussion, I thought, you know, hey, if you're gonna go see somebody, that means you're a little cuckoo, right? But no, you know, it's just a checkup, you know, the same way you
Absolutely.
go get your eyes checked, you know, you make sure that your mindset is checked, make sure your brain is, your attitude is right, get a little adjustment where you need it, you know.
Always.
So it definitely
Always.
changed my perspective. I've learned a lot from doing these episodes. You know, things that I will implement in my life or have implemented in my life, and things that I should, but I know I won't, you know?
Yeah, and so for me, when I'm talking to the young men or the guys that are my age, I tell them that all the time. Find a group of guys or the one person that you know that you can actually talk to, that you can actually open up with, and you feel safe around them. And you know that they won't go telling your business or make it seem like you're weak when you're trying to open up and convey how you really feel about yourself. And I told them often, and my buddy, shout out to the quarter, because we had this conversation. He's like, man, why do you think it's like that? I said, I don't know where you grew up at, bro, but where I grew up, they told us to shut up. Are you a boy or are you a man at the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old? Are you a boy? You a man? And at the time, you're going, I'm a boy, but I know if I say I'm a boy, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that. But you tell you're a man, you know, and at the time, it strips you away of having that connection with your mother or your father who wants you to grow up so fast and so early. And you don't have the ability to speak to them and say, hey, I'm really hurt by the things that you're saying to me. And I don't like the way that comes off to me. So a lot of the times we bottle up our emotions. And in the community where I grew up, a lot of the guys, the young guys, their only emotion that they ever use is anger.
And you know what? I wonder if that's one of the remnants of sort of colonization. Like, you know, our ancestors, you know, in Africa, like, did they have these like these same sort of gender roles where you had to just be tough and never have any emotion than if you're a guy and not talk? You know, like, was that part of it, or is that something we've sort of inherited from the dominant culture?
I, my opinion, I believe that it ha happened when we got here. All right. After the colonization and the enslavement, I believe it happened there, because there's no way you're telling me that a group of people started off with oral history talking to one another and they neglected to say, hey, we need to say this is these things right here. In order for us to grow, we need to talk about these things right here. There's no way these guys competed and had societies and resurrected these grand monuments without being able to say something to each other. You understand? So it's no way that happened. Now, when we get here, we're still competitive. It seems like we more competitive to a point now where we almost hate each other at times. So when I'm looking at it, I'm like, the communication is missing somewhere. And I believe it happened after the enslavement and colonization imperialism that happened to us, and some of the stuff that we're still going through now. The prison pop the what's the prison
Industrial
industrial
prison
complex and everything
complex.
like that. So I believe these are things that have made us more angry and more hateful towards each other. So all the things that we've been through enslavement has made us grudge against each other and grudge with one another, and it's been tearing us up from the inside out. Because I talk, like I said, I talk to these young guys. When you're listening to them, it's like, man, they're not around anybody that they can talk to. Y'all not
Yeah.
dumb. Y'all just angry. Y'all need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think to anyone who is listening, when you hear this, mental health is very important. It's very important for you to have someone to talk to. If it ain't me, if it isn't Andre, find somebody to talk to, man. Because you don't want to bottle up this stuff and have it on the inside, and you don't have a safe place to speak it, and then you blow up the wrong way. You black out one day and you do
Yep.
something crazy, and you harm yourself or you harm somebody else.
Yep, 100%. 100%
All right.
agree.
Message right there and all that. Bing, 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 bing. Hope everybody catch that. All right. So the
Right.
farming, let's go back. You said you planted a mango tree.
Yes.
It grew. You said, oh man, I can do
I was like,
this.
man, yeah. I was like, no, let me plant another mango tree. And then it was like, all right, let me plant an avocado tree. And another mango tree, and then a lychee tree, and then just kept going, going, and going, and going. And then I started learning about permaculture, and then and food forests, and then COVID happened, and I was home for 6 weeks. I've never had a vacation longer than 10 days in my life. I
Wow.
was home for 6 weeks and couldn't go to work, so I was in the backyard just building this food forest. I was down there like 10 hours a day. You know, I'd wake up in the morning, go down there and work, and not come back up until it was dark, you
Wow.
know. And that's kind of how the whole food forest got built. And then the social media thing just kind of, you know, I'll tell you a funny story how I started the social media. So I went out to dinner with my wife, with my friend and his wife and my wife, and she was telling me how she got free boots because she's on Instagram with her garden. At the time, I didn't have an Instagram account, but I'm thinking, man, I got a huge garden. I should be getting free boots too. So I was like, you know, I'm going to start an Instagram, you know, and I trying to come up with a name for Instagram and all this stuff. And then I had a bunch of stupid names and finally ended up with Andre the Farmer. I said, all right, we're going to work with that. And I had a patient come in and she was like, you know, if you want your Instagram to grow, you got to be on TikTok. And at the time, I'm thinking, man, TikTok's just like nonsense, just a bunch of kids doing nonsense. Because my son at the time, he was somewhat TikTok famous. He had 150,000 followers, like in the
Oh,
early
wow.
days, back when that used to be a lot. So, anyways, so I got the TikTok and I made a couple of videos, and some of them just happened to go viral. And you know, next thing you know, I had, you know, a lot of followers, and I started getting free boots. You know, so since then, I've been turning down a lot of boots, but and the initial drive was for the free boots.
Hey, well, you got set out on a goal and you got it. So everything worked out in the end. So, in with the mental health, how important for you as a man who's in the dentist field, how important is the actual physical health?
You know, for me, that is I want to say it's more important than the mental health, but like, listen, you only got one body. Like, you know, your body's what carries you around, you know, and if you don't have that working, then you're stuck. You know, the average life expectancy for a black male is something like 63, 64 years old or something like that
Wow.
in this country. You know, and that's not very long. You know, like
Mm-mm.
I was saying it in the show, I talk about it. I said, man, I need more than 10, 12 years to do what I gotta do. I got stuff to do, you know.
Yeah, you and
So
me both.
it's Yeah, so it was very important that we take care of our physical, you know, and I think that, you know, one of the things that I am, you know, and it's a bit controversial, but I'm really against a lot of these creators that create fear of food. There's so much sort of there's a whole industry of creators that sort of thrive on just scaring everybody about everything. You know, there's really nothing that you can't ever eat. It's all about making good choices and moderation.
There we
And
go.
it's not that complicated, but I just get hear so much misinformation being in this space. It's hard, because once people, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as a dentist, how often should a person go to see a dentist?
At least every 6 months. Some people need to go more often, but you should go every 6 months. Because if you go every 6 months, then you're not going to have any big problems, right? Because when you need a root canal, that's because you have a cavity that sort of lasted for a lot longer than it should have. Like it takes more than 6 months for a cavity to go from a cavity to a root canal. So if you're going every 6 months, you should never have a root canal. You should never have an extraction. You can avoid these things by going regularly.
Okay, lately I've been seeing, or for the past couple of years, I'll say since COVID, I've been seeing a lot of people with the fake teeth sets. All right. And I'm hearing it coming from Colombia or from Mexico and everything like that. Is that something you subscribe to, or do you suggest that people just
So
use
I think
it?
you're talking about like the veneers,
Yeah, the
veneers.
veneers.
Are,
Yeah.
if you have something structurally wrong with your teeth or they're stained or whatever and you want to get them, sure. But I think there's definitely some degree of overuse. Like people that have perfectly fine teeth, they're just, because part of the problem is there's a certain amount of maintenance with these things and they're not going to last forever. So, you go get these things done, you come back to your country or whatever. If one breaks or chips, what do you do? You go back to the other country, or are you gonna try to get it done here? It's just you're just opening yourself up to some potential problems in the long run.
So, Doc, you just told me something. You just said that they don't last forever. How long do the veneers last?
Depends on how well they're made. A veneer can last anywhere from 40 years to 40 minutes. It's a pretty wide range depending on how good they are and how much force they're exposed to.
Okay. Because I'd be looking at them like, man, it's not. For me, it's far from me for be talking about somebody's teeth. But when I be looking, I'm like, man, it just don't even look like that. It looks like it can't, it's their mouth. You know what I mean? Is their actual teeth and everything. So,
Yeah, if it's done well, yeah, it can look like natural teeth. But
yeah.
and so you generally shouldn't be able to see veneers because you shouldn't know that someone has veneers. If you know that someone has veneers, then they're not good veneers.
And when I be, Doc, I'm telling you, when I be looking like, man, that. No, it just looks like someone put like the fake teeth in there and just throw them in there. Pop,
Because
you
a lot
know.
of times people get them too white. They get them way too white, and then
Okay.
they just look ridiculous.
Okay.
No.
All right. So, with your ability to plant food, do you plan on selling it and having your own produce?
No. In my yard, that's not really a scalable thing.
Okay.
I don't feel like that could be an industry. Like, sure, maybe if I work real hard, I can make a couple, maybe
Extra
a
bucks.
$1,000 or a couple $1,000 in a summer. But yeah, I got a job. I'd rather make videos and make money off, sponsors or things like that than selling and shipping fruit. Fruit is a real difficult thing to sell and ship, and you have to charge so much for the shipping and then you've got it's just a headache that I'm not trying to have.
Gotcha.
I'd rather give away stuff than sell it
Gotcha.
in terms of that, yeah.
Would you ever have a class, or do you, I should say this, have you started a class for
Kind of. I have a community that I started. It's on
it?
school.com.
Okay. Okay.
It's called Better Gardener. And so we have a little private community there. It's a subscription-based thing. But we do weekly calls with me. I post some videos in there that aren't posted anywhere else. And people have access to me to ask questions whenever they have a question.
Okay. In choosing dentistry, who were your inspirations or the people that you look to?
I don't know. I guess it'd probably be my great uncle Roy.
Okay.
I kind of fell into dentistry. Like I love it, but I didn't go in there. I never at any point in my life said, "Man, I want to be a dentist." I kind of literally fell into it.
But you did it, and you've been doing it for a while, sir.
Well, yeah. Well, once you do it, you got to do it, right? And once I got to dental school, I actually liked it, but I had no idea that I would like it. But I did like it once I got there. And orthodontics, I love it. I love meeting people. I love building relationships, changing people's, demeanor, their smile. So I really do enjoy it now. But I didn't have any aspirations, like long-term aspirations, to be a dentist.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Three books you would recommend for people.
Guns, Germs, and Steel, The Selfish Gene, David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell.
Malcolm Gladwell. Okay. Malcolm Gladwell. All right. All right. I like that. I like that. The first one was what? Because I'm trying to keep it on my mind.
Guns, Germs, and
And
Steel.
Steel. Has that book been out for a while?
It has.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it has. And I'll give you the quick premise. Like it's
Sounds
a
like it's like
lot
10 years
about,
older, but go ahead.
it's like it starts with a question. There's this primitive tribe, on an island, and there's this guy who's, I guess, a European guy, whatever, and they're sort of worshiping the cargo and all the stuff that the Europeans have. And he asks, and one of the natives asks, "Why do my people have no cargo and your people have so much cargo?" And that's sort of the question that's answered throughout the book. And it's a very interesting question, and it's a very interesting answer. So Guns, Germs, and Steel, I definitely recommend it. And the Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins.
The
I
selfish
believe it should be mandatory reading for anyone that wants to have a biology degree. It definitely gives you a whole different perspective of the natural world. And then any of Malcolm Gladwell books are amazing. But I think David and Goliath is a really good one. It talks about how things we think of as advantages can sometimes be disadvantages, and vice versa.
Okay, awesome. Guns, Germs, and Steel. Doc, that sounds like a book that I heard about years ago.
Probably it was it's a very sort of well-known book.
Okay. All right, down to this. If there was a message you could leave behind, what would you like to tell people who are listening?
Well, that's tough. One of the things I'd tell them is to not sweat the small stuff, and remember, it's all small stuff.
It's all small stuff.
It's all small stuff.
Interesting. Interesting, because we make a lot of things harder than what they are.
Stress will kill you faster than anything else in this world.
And part of the other thing about the things being small is some of it just comes from fear, and it's really just a fear of not knowing certain things you just
Well,
never done. So instead of just doing it, we hold back and go, I don't want to do that because you just never did it before. Right?
Yeah, and it's very easy for us to sort of step back into our comfort zone. But what we need to do is we need to step forward and embrace the things that make us uncomfortable. You need to embrace that change, embrace that new challenge.
Doc, you ever do any community activism?
Activism?
I mean,
No.
community outreach or anything like that, I should
Yes,
say.
we do a ton of it. During the school year, I am in a school pretty much every week.
Okay. All right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Andre the farmer, part father, part dentist or orthodontist, a man of many talents. He also bow hunts. I didn't even ask him about the bow hunting. Where are you bow hunting?
Well, last year we went up to Georgia and did some bow hunting there, but I used to be a member at a hunt club here in just like outside of Orlando, where I used to hunt pretty
Okay.
much every weekend almost.
What are you guys hunting?
Wild boar and deer.
I love deer, man. Deer is excellent.
It is. I like the wild boar actually more than the deer.
Yeah. So I haven't hunted the boar yet.
They're tough. They're tough.
I heard they're tough sons of bitches, man. And
Yeah.
smart.
Yes.
And smart.
They are
And if you're
smart
on the
too,
wrong end when they're charging,
man.
you
Yeah,
will get hurt because they don't run.
I fortunately never have been charged by one, but they can turn aggressive.
People seem to think that they're just gonna run from you. No. They'll run to you.
No,
They'll
in
run.
most cases they'll run from you. 99.9% of the time they're running from you. As soon as they sniff human, they're gone.
Out of there.
They're
Out of
out of
there.
there. Yeah.
But yeah, but so hunting, I grew up hunting with my uncles, and it was always deer, rabbits, and raccoon. So
Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago, but my family is
Okay.
from the South. So the time that I would go down there and visit, I would spend time with them and hunt and everything like that.
Nice, nice,
Yeah,
nice.
good times, man. But my uncle, man, he can make some really good deer steak, some deer sausage. He's probably one of the best people at it, man. Some of the best food I ever had.
Nice,
I
nice,
love it,
nice.
man. Southern people know how to cook, man. It's the best thing ever. I'm telling you.
That is
I'm
true.
telling you.
That is
That's
they
where
know
we
how to
got. That's where we got it all
smother
from, anyway. You know,
that
it's one of the best things ever. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, this has been Andre the Farmer, and always remember the mission statement when you're striving for greatness. God never puts you in a driver's seat is if it's taken. Andre, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much.
All right. Thank you, man.
Yes,
Take
sir. Take
care.
care.
All right. Bye-bye.